all intended to be instructional to us. It's intended to be expressive of us in praise to the Lord. It is intended to be informative to us as to why we are to praise the Lord and when we are to praise the Lord and how we are to praise the Lord. It is not going to be performance-oriented, and it's not going to be hype. I'm not going to be up here generating enough hype to drag you along to praise the Lord. I'm not going to be so enthused and so energetic and so profound as you must praise the Lord, otherwise you'll stand out as such a sluggard that you won't be able to stand it. I'm not going to be doing that. What I'm going to be doing this morning is informing you, and we're going to be looking at the Scriptures, and we're going to be singing songs together, and it is going to be your heart that will or will not respond to the truths of the matter. It will be your heart that's to enter into it and do so. This is your opportunity to express your heart to the Lord in praise and to know the distinction of the two. And so I'm depending upon the Lord this morning to move us in our minds and our hearts and in the direction and in praise itself, and that He would give us a spirit of praise, that He would come upon us with a spirit of praise, and that we would enter in with a spirit of praise unto the Lord. So get your Bibles out, please. We're going to be looking at the Scriptures as well as singing, as well as looking at Scriptures as well as singing, perhaps back and forth on that. And we want this to be a scripturally informed exercise. And I trust by the time the morning is over that praise will seem a different kind of exercise than you've ever thought of before. It will be enlarged in your understanding and be more praise-oriented than ever before. First, Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. These are not just a bunch of verses that I have gathered together in order to coordinate a thought about praise, but specific events in regards to praise. Luke chapter 2. We know the occasion of Christ's birth and the angels coming to announce Jesus' birth to the shepherds. It says in verse 13 of chapter 2, "And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying," and this is what they said in praising God, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased." And this is what they praised God regarding and for and about. They were praising God, and this is what they said in their praising of God: "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased." That is something praiseworthy of God. His glory in the highest possible place in the universe. It's His glory that is above all. And on earth there is peace among men whom He has pleased. And that is to the glory of God. That is praiseworthy, because on earth there has been nothing but men who have displeased Him. But it is to the glory of God that the angels could say that on earth now there is going to be peace upon between God and men whom please God. That is to the glory of God. It is praiseworthy to praise God for that reason. Can you say amen to that? Does your mind see that? Does your mind say, yes, that's praiseworthy of God? It is fitting that the angels in heaven, these are angels in heaven, praising God. And this is why they're praising God. Because there's now peace between men who have been His enemies and God through Jesus Christ. It's the very one that is the occasion of this praise. And it is glory to God in the highest. Let's sing that song called the Doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost again. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him above creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavens.
heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
And after the shepherds had heard the angels singing and the declaration to them, they made their way to Bethlehem and found Christ. They saw the child just as it was told them, and it says in verse 20, and the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. We could stop right here and we could indulge ourselves in the reality and the significance of that statement. But here, imagine these shepherds being told by angelic visitation and hearing an angelic choir multitude praising and glorifying God. And they go as they've been told to the place, and they see the child just as they have been told. And they go on their way, glorifying God and praising God. And what's the reason that they glorify God and praise God? For all that they had heard and seen, and it was just as had been told them. What they heard and saw was exactly what had been told them. And therefore, they praise God. They praise God that God, when He speaks and makes declarations and revelations, it comes to pass. It's just like he says it's going to be. That is reason to praise Him and glorify Him. When God said that He would make a new heart within you and pour out His Spirit upon you, and when it happened, isn't that praiseworthy? Isn't that reason to praise Him? That He did it just like He said it would be? When He fulfills a promise to mankind, isn't that praiseworthy? Shouldn't the heart have praise? Wouldn't it be reasonable to praise Him? Should not He receive the praise for the fulfillment of His promises? Who else should be praised when man's heart is converted through the hearing of the gospel and the work of the Spirit? Nobody but Jesus Christ, nobody but God the Father should be praised. And for that reason, I want to emphasize this morning as we go along for you to see that there is reason to praise God. And for those particular reasons, God is to be praised. People sometimes think that God is simply to be praised because that is what you do in church, or that we're told to do it. But we don't praise God for things that are not acts of God. We don't praise God for the workings of the devil. We don't praise God for being tempted by sin, for example, and be tempted by the devil and being tempted by the world. We don't praise God for that. We are to understand that He is to be praised and for particular reasons. And if the heart is ever praising God, it has a reason in view. Real praise of God has a reason in view. The heart has some object and reason for praising God when the heart is really praising God. If a person is standing in church or sitting in church or somewhere just going, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, and he's thinking about how dinner is going to be going after the service, or they're thinking about visitors that are coming this next week, they're not praising God. They are doing the lip thing and they're doing the form thing, and it is ritual and it is religion, but it's not praise to God, because when the heart is really praising God, there's an object in mind. They are praising God because they are praising God for what He has done. Okay? Is that not true? That's when the heart is praising God, there is something in view to praise Him for. Amen. Let's sing that song at 73 in your book. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, glory and honor, glory and honor and power. Why? For Thou hast created, hast all things created. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are created. Thou good reason to praise Him, honor Him. He made everything. He created everything. It's for His pleasure that everything has been created. The lowest level of praise in the hearts of man is because He is created by God. That is the reason why Romans chapter 1, Paul reveals that God turns people over to a depraved mind and turns them over to their sin, is because they would not keep God and honor God and glorify God as their Creator. They wouldn't praise Him as their Creator. Because they wouldn't honor and glorify Him and praise Him as their Creator, God would turn them over to believe a lie. And all of mankind is under the condemnation of this rejection of the light of creation because they wouldn't glorify Him as God. But He is worthy to be praised and honored and glorified. Why? Because He created all things. And for His pleasure, they are created. And He is worthy to be praised. Every believer should have that praise to God because God is his Creator. It is the turning from the rejection of God and glorifying Him as a Creator to accepting the reality that God is our Creator and we are His servants. He is not ours. And so we are to praise Him. That's the lowest level of praise unto God. He is our Creator. We are made His servants. He has made us. We have not made Him. Let's sing that again. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, glory and honor, glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created, hast all things created. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are created. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Amen. Let's turn to our Bibles, the Psalms. Psalms at the end of Psalms, the last Psalms. Psalm 145. Psalm 145. First three verses. Let's read this with understanding. Let's understand the Holy Spirit is speaking through the psalm writer, writing these songs as songs of praise. Psalm 145. First three verses. Julie, would you read them out loud as everyone follows along?
I will extol Thee, my God, O King, and I will bless Thy name forever and ever. Every day I will bless Thee, and I will praise Thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and highly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable.
Great is the Lord, and highly to be praised. Verse 2. According to verse 2, what is equivalent to praising God? According to verse 2, Ron? Blessing God. Praising God. Blessing God. Terminology means the same thing. Honoring God means the same thing. Glorifying God means the same thing. The angels, the host of heaven, were praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest." To praise God is to glorify Him, to raise Him up in the highest place of praise and honor and excellence, to raise it up to the highest place of possible conception of goodness. It is to honor Him and praise Him and bless Him. It is to recognize His excellency above all else. He is the Most High God, as the Old Testament often describes Him. And here the psalmist says what? Great is the Lord and highly to be praised. I will praise thy name forever and ever. Amen. Let's look at another psalm. Psalm 147. The first verse. Lorenzo, would you read that out loud for us, please?
Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is becoming. For it is pleasant, and praise is becoming.
Is becoming. It's appropriate. It's proper. It is good to sing praises to our God. It's good to sing praises to our God. For singing praises to our God is pleasant, and praise is becoming. It's becoming to Him. It's becoming in our relationship to Him. Amen. By the way, that very first phrase, praise the Lord, in Hebrew is hallelujah. Hallelujah, for it is good to sing praises to our God. Amen. For Psalm 149. First verse. Ron, would you read that out loud, please?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Sing to the Lord a new song, and His praise in the congregation of the godly ones.
And sing to the Lord a new song, and sing His praise in the congregation of the holy ones. Psalm 146. First two verses. Keith, would you read those out loud, please? Everyone follow.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord while I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, O my soul. I will praise the Lord when? While I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Psalm 150. Psalm 150. Jim, would you read the whole psalm out loud as we follow along?
Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's just take a moment and do an exercise, a spiritual exercise. Let's just take a moment and close our eyes and just praise the Lord. You individually praise the Lord, and you can do it vocally and verbally, and you can do it out loud, and you can do it from your heart. Lord, I praise You this morning. Praise Your name, dear God. Let everything that has breath praise You. I have breath, Lord. I praise You. I praise Your name. I glorify Your name, dear God. I thank You for Your goodness. I thank You for Your greatness. Thank You that You made me, dear God. I thank You that You've given me breath, dear Lord. Praise Your name, dear God. Praise Your name, dear God. Praise Your name, dear God. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to Your name, dear God. Praise Your name, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Let's worship Him and praise Him. Let's sing this song. Hallelujah. Alleluia. 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 Thank You, Jesus. 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 Thank Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. God, lift yourself high in our hearts this day. God, reveal yourself through Jesus to our hearts this day. Cause us to see how praiseworthy you are. Cause us to see the reasons to praise you, that we may worship in spirit and in truth. God, I pray that you flesh out all previous conceptions of ritualistic praise, intellectual praise. Generate within our hearts, Lord, praise from the heart. Praise from our innermost beings. Praise out of love for you. Praise out of trust in you. Praise out of the glory that you've given to our souls in Jesus. Praise out of the grace that's come into our lives, dear God. May the grace that's come in sing back unto you praises and worship unto you this morning, Lord. Praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praising God is not some kind of Buddhist or Hindu or witchcraft or other type of practice where people gather together and take hold of hands and do it in the dark or do it with certain mantras or do it with certain charms or do it with certain rituals to try to get a response from the other side. Praise unto God is already knowing what's on the other side, already having a revelation of God through Jesus Christ, already knowing what God is like and what He has done towards mankind. It's already knowing God and praising Him because we know Him. It is not trying to get something from the other side. It is not trying to get something out of the darkness. It is not trying to get some kind of manifestation of that which is unknown. But praising God is praising what is known because we know Jesus Christ. What a difference it is to praise God. Sometimes people can get the sense that we gather together and try to generate the right atmosphere by praising Him. The Scripture says that the Lord does inherit the praises of His people. He doesn't say He inherits praises. It's the praises of His people. We just can't gather together. People just can't gather together and do praisings to get God to come in His presence. But it's the praises of His people that He inhabits. What a difference. It's the difference between ritual and religion and relationship. His people. The praises of His people He comes in and dwells in. Makes Himself known in. What a difference. Praise Him this morning in your heart. Worship Him. Psalms 92:1 said it is good to sing praises to the Lord. I ask you to turn to the end of Luke. Last chapter of Luke. First of all, the 23rd chapter of Luke. I just want to show you something remarkable. Luke 23, verse 47. Jesus is hanging on the cross. He has spoken several times from the cross. And at the very end, hanging on the cross in the condition that He was in, it says, "Now when the centurion saw what had happened, he began praising God, saying, 'Certainly this man was innocent.'" He heard Jesus say, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." No man who was guilty before God would have said, "Here, God, take my spirit. Here, God, I come to you." This so impressed the centurion that he was persuaded of Jesus' innocence, and it's another rendition is righteousness. And he began praising God. the death of Jesus on the cross and this last words, "Into thy hand I commend my spirit," produced a reason for the centurion to praise God. What did the disciples do after Jesus rose from the dead and made himself known to them for 40 days? 10 days after that, he ascended back into heaven. What did the disciples do after that? End of Luke, chapter 24. Beginning with verse 50. Beginning with verse 50 to the end. Kim, would you read that out loud, please?
"And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came about that while he was blessing them, he parted from them. And they returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising God."
Praising God. Continually in the temple, praising God. Connected with that is the last statement. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Joy and praising are connected. Joy in God, joy because of God, and praising God are connected. People don't praise God in unbelief. People don't praise God in distress and in despair. Praise God in joy, because of joy. And joy springs forth in praising. See that? But look at what the disciples were doing after Jesus left. They continued not in the upper room, hidden from the Jews for fear of the Jews. They did do that between his crucifixion and his resurrection. Because Jesus came through the walls because the door was locked because they were hiding from the Jews for fear of the Jews, it says. But that didn't continue. Because when they saw that Jesus was resurrected, he turned their mourning and fear into joy. And once he departed, they did not go back to the upper room and lock themselves in for fear of the Jews. But they openly went into the temple, the very place where praise was to be offered. And they were continually in the temple praising God. This is what the disciples did between his ascension and the day of Pentecost. They're in the temple, praising God, giving God glory, honoring God, making statements about the goodness of God, declaring in their praises and in their vocal representations things that honored and glorified God. Oh, I'd love to see someday a wave of people come into gospel truth praising God. I'd love to see a wave of people leaving gospel truth praising God. Not praising God just when there's other believers around, because they were surrounded by unbelievers in Christ in the temple. But they went there praising God. Wonder what your week would be like if it was filled with praising God. How would your life be reshaped if you had the joy of God and the praising of God on your lips and your heart throughout the week, wherever you went? You praised God. You praised God at your work because you had work. You stated it so. And you had the opportunity to say, "Oh, I'm so thankful for this job. I'm so thankful I have a job. I praise God. I honor God for the job that I have and that I have a job." When you're with your family or relatives, do you ever praise God for the spouse that you have, the in-laws that you have? Do you praise God because you have in-laws? Do you praise God that you're alive and have relationships with other people and have the opportunity to serve God by loving them? Do you praise God for what He is amongst the people? Do you praise God because of the sending of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus, and that salvation is now complete and entire and waiting for the reception by the world? Do you praise God and let it be known where you go and where you live? When good things happen to other people, you say, "Oh, praise God. That's like God doing things like that. Oh, praise God." Maybe people would take that so literal and say, oh, that's only to be done in the temple. Well, I'll let you do that if you'd like. But that's what they were doing for 10 days. They were continually in the temple praising God. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Let's sing number 525. Sing some more praise. I'm sorry, 106. 106. Praise Him, praise Him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms He carries them all day long. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. What is it saying here? Praise Him, tell of what? His excellent greatness. I need to give you some instruction right now. Amen. Thank you, brother. There have been many occasions in the past, some very specific in my mind, when during time of service and time of gathered together, I have specifically called for people, given opportunity for anyone to offer praise to God, to praise God and let others hear your praise and fill their mind with reasons that you have for praising God. That one after another who would praise God and offer up praises to God would so edify other people that their understanding of reasons to praise Him would be multiplied by hearing other people praising God. Okay? And I've given very specific instruction at those times that this is a time to praise God. And praising God is telling of His excellent greatness. Pay attention to me. Listen to my instructions. Praising God is telling of His excellent greatness. But I must tell you that there have been occasions when I have given that instruction and the spirit of praise was in our midst and it was time to praise Him and it was time to tell of His excellent greatness and multiply the reasons to praise Him. That people would, instead of telling of His excellent greatness, would begin to talk about the things that they have done for the Lord recently. And it would just grieve the Spirit and quench the Spirit. Because they weren't telling of His excellent greatness. They were telling of their excellent greatness. They were telling about the labors that they had recently done for God. And they would say, well, I thank the Lord that He gave me the opportunity to do that. But they would go on and tell all the things that they had been doing. They weren't telling of His excellent greatness. And it grieved the Spirit. Now that's either not paying attention or as being uninstructed as to how to praise the Lord. But this morning I need you to know, and you need to know, that when we talk about praising God, it is telling of His excellent greatness. It is not the time to tell about the difficulties that you are having in a walk of faith. It is not the time of making prayer requests of other people to pray for you because of the difficulties that you are going through. It is a time to tell of His excellent greatness. Amen. It is the time for that. There are other times for praying for one another. There are other times for confessing your faults one to another and praying for one another. There are other times to talk about the opportunities that you may have had and taken advantage of to do something for the Lord. But when it's time to praise the Lord, it is the time to tell of His excellent greatness. But I know what it can be like when you search your mind to think of His excellent greatness and nothing comes across your mind of His excellent greatness because the mind is filled with the day's carnal activities. The mind is filled with the cares of this world. The mind is filled with pride and self-righteousness, so it only praises oneself. And what comes out of the abundance of the heart is what comes out of the mouth. And instead of people telling of His excellent greatness, they think that they are praising God, but they are really talking about other things that doesn't praise God and doesn't encourage other people to praise God, but only draws attention to themselves or their difficulties or their unbelief. Now, what I'm sharing with you this morning is extremely important. Extremely important. For if the spirit of praise were to be developed and God were to pour out a spirit of praise upon us and we're praising God, and I say, would somebody please lay it out in a prayer of praise? And you start leading out and you start going, oh God, it's such a difficulty in my family with an unsaved spouse. Oh God, my children are unsaved. Oh God, I know my back is hurting me this morning, but I came anyway. Oh, the spirit of praise would be so grieved. Do you understand? Not the time nor the occasion. It's the time when our mind should be greatly increased with the excellencies of God. More and more reasons it is piled upon to praise Him. To those who have a spirit of praise and a spirit of worship to God, what increases that spirit of praise and spirit of worship is more reasons to praise Him. And coming out of other hearts who are praising Him. And back and forth, almost like that they're in God's throne room. And Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. And what did he hear? Holy. Angels sing. Holy. One said to another, holy, holy, holy. What it must be like in heaven when you're there praising God and you're surrounded by these creatures who keep saying, holy, holy. They're saying, oh, yes. Oh, I praise you, God. You're holy. Before you're done, you hear somebody else go, holy. And then your mind just keeps getting filled with reasons to praise Him and trust Him and serve Him. It's holy. And that's what it would be like in a praise service where people are praising and I say, take your liberty to praise God and praise Him out loud and lead in praise. And that's the opportunity for your praise to tell of His excellent greatness, and somebody else is praising the Lord. It just piles on the reasons to praise Him with you. Do you understand that? Do you see that? Well, practice it. Practice it. And if you have no spirit of praise upon you, if you have no reasons within your heart to praise Him, keep silent. Keep silent until you do. Keep silent until the praises of others finally trigger and generate and induce within you a spirit of praise within your own heart, until you finally begin to hear of His excellent greatness and your heart is willing to rise up and begin to praise Him. It's better to not participate than to participate and not in the spirit of praise. So it's vital what you hear this morning, what I'm telling you. It's vital that you understand that next time I indicate, praise Him this morning, that you know what it's about. It's a time for you to turn your heart and your mind completely on the excellencies of God, the character of God, the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, the grace of God, the love of God. Your mind is to be entirely abstracted until it's on God alone and His excellencies. You're to draw your mind away from the cares of this world, the regular routines of the world, the necessary responsibilities of the world. You're to draw your mind away until your praise can be pure and spiritual and according to truth, not intermingled with trying to still solve that problem of relationship or something. Praise Him. And let it be understood that this instruction is very specific in that we need to practice according to this instruction. That where there's times of praise, and I say, you go ahead and praise. Anybody wants to lead out in praise, you understand it's praise that needs to be let out. Tell of His excellent greatness when you praise. Amen. Let's sing another verse here.
Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins He suffered and bled and died. He, our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail Him, Jesus the crucified. Sound His praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song.
You know it's not even when the pastor would direct it. It's not as though the pastor would generate praise. You might come in and be full of joy and praise to the God, and I say, would you lead us in prayer? And your heart's just going to be start praising God. And bless God, that would be the way that the Spirit would have our meeting time begin. And it would be the time to give me reasons to praise the Lord along with you. And it's not as though I'm going to orchestrate and control everything, but you would need to know that that praise consists in telling of His excellent greatness. And you might come in with the spirit of praise. And I would thank God for that. With it, everybody that came in with a spirit of praise and worship unto the Lord, and not wait until somebody else cranks it up. But you would come in with that, and you would lead out with that, and you would join in together with that. Amen. A single last verse. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals, loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown Him, prophet and priest and king.
Christ
is coming over the world victorious.
Power and glory
unto the Lord belong. Praise Him,
tell of His excellent
greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Book of Acts, chapter 2. Uh-oh. Day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Verses 46 and 47. Acts chapter 2, verses 46 and 47. Nancy, would you read those out loud, please? These are the peoples who came to believe in Christ, not just the 12 disciples and apostles. What were they doing? They were eating their bread together with sincerity of heart, with gladness, you know, continuing with one mind, praising God. Praising God. Oh, those two little words, descriptive of that original group of people who had entered into the new covenant. One of the things that they were doing, as described of them, is that they were praising God. That seemed to be the state of their heart. That seemed to be an ongoing modus operandi of their relationship with God. That seemed to be a description of one who had been recently filled with the Holy Spirit, praising God. After 10 days after Christ left until the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, they were in the temple praising God. Now they're in everybody's house praising God. Still praising God. When was the last time before 10 o'clock this morning that you praised God? When you get together with one another, is it times of praising God? Or is it all chit-chat about kids and things and jobs and computers and business and money and no praising of God? These people, when they got together, were praising God. It was part of their relationship with one another that they would praise God. As I've been studying this and looking at this, I see such a deficiency. It is an insufficient part of my life of praising God. It needs to be part of my relationship with you is praising God, thanking God, honoring God, blessing God. Praising God. Chapter 3 of the book of Acts. Chapter 3 of the book of Acts. Verse 6, but Peter said, I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do I have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk. And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. And with a leap, he stood upright and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Wonderful. They just didn't say walk. And he got up and began to walk. And just walked. Praise God too. And they just didn't see him in the temple walking. But they saw him walking and talking. He was praising God. He was giving expression and verbalizing why he was able to walk. He was giving credit where credit was due. He was giving praise where praise is due. God. And when a person is born again, when a person has been regenerated, when a person has received the Spirit of God and God has cleansed the conscience, when they have come into communion with God, they ought to be praising God because they're a new creature. They shouldn't just be walking the walk. They should be praising in their talk. Why is that not so? Why is it not so that your friends and family don't hear you praising God? If you praise God for the change, would there be a change that they would acknowledge? Would they confirm, yeah, I do believe that you've had a great change of heart? Or would you say, I praise God for the work He's done in my heart? And they would scratch their head and go, well, that's nice religious talk, but I don't see any change. Would they believe that you're praising God for good and sufficient reasons, or would it be just religious talk? See? We are on the subject of praising God, but it's going to have to be praising God like they praise God. It's going to be praising God for the reasons to praise God, the real reasons to praise God. It can't be ritual and form praising God. It can't be just doing it because they did it. But it's going to have to have the same heart behind why they were doing it. It has to be the praising of God for the same reason that they praise God, and out of the same kind of heart. Imagine being crippled all your life and somebody comes along in the name of Jesus and raises you up and you're able to walk, and you attribute it to this man named Jesus who they said is the Son of God, and you believe it to be so, and you begin to walk and to leap and praise God. Wouldn't your praising of God be so filled with your whole heart? Wouldn't it be unmingled? Wouldn't it be beyond form and circumstance? Wouldn't it be beyond ritual? Wouldn't it be beyond what you ought to say? Wouldn't it be the heart that can hardly contain itself from praising God? Wouldn't it be more like a cup that's filled and running over rather than trying to find a little bit of moisture at the bottom of it, of praise? Seems like praise God or praise Him is one of those words that has lost so much of its meaning by meaningless repetition. Seems like it's just lost its meaning. Praise Him. Oh, when you were in sin and your heart was at enmity against God, you were opposed to His will for your life. You're walking in your lust and indulging the lust of the flesh and of the mind, dead to God. And He truly, because you've turned to Him as your Savior, He's raised you from the dead, and He's raised you from your bitterness, and He's raised you from your anger, and He's put His love in your heart, and the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart, and your forgiveness has flowed out to those who may have injured you and sinned against you. Isn't that something to praise God for? And how it steals from God the praise that's due Him when nobody knows why your heart isn't bitter and angry anymore.
God is robbed of his praise because people who say they've been born again don't praise him to anybody else. They don't let it be known. They don't even let it be known when they go to church. It's the world's greatest secret that they've been saved from this abominable sin. They just sort of indicate it. Thank God I've been saved from sin. Thank God. And there's not the humble willingness to just pour out the heart and say, oh, I want the world to know how much blackness God has cleansed me from. I want the world to know how much obstinacy God has broken down in my life. I don't care who knows what they know about me. All that's true about me, I want it to be known that God has saved me from it, that his grace has been greater than all of my sin. And I want to praise him that where my sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That lame man, oh, I've been lame all my life. And it's Jesus and his power that's given me this ability to walk. Praise Jesus! Who can sit in a service when a man walks in and you've known that man and somebody came in with him and said, Jesus, through this man's touch, raise me up and I can walk now. Who of us would not be so touched with that? Who of us would not seem appropriate that we'd all praise Jesus? Yet our lameness and our crippledness and our sin, Jesus comes along and he redeems us. And we just kind of have the attitude, oh, I'm better now. Thank God. We don't praise him. We don't praise God. We don't bless God. We don't honor God. Oh, Lord, help us. Oh, Lord, help us. God is honored when glorified, when the sinner makes known the depths of the salvation that he's received. How much honor does God get when a person says, you know, thank God for his salvation because when I was in high school, I used to lie. He's forgiven me of that. I don't lie anymore. Thank God for his salvation. And the truth of the matter is, the person ought to be saying, oh, I've lived a life of rebellion against God. And God loved me with such a kind of love, love for enemies. He's won my heart. He's to be praised, for his loving kindness is everlasting. It speaks, I think, to us that we ought to examine whether or not we really have the reasons to praise him. Do we really have the changed heart? Do we really have the grace that abounds more than where sin abounds? Lord, help us. Lord, help us this morning. You have so many reasons to praise God. He made you, gives you life. Continues to pursue to do you good. He sent his only begotten Son that we may have life. God ought to be praised by every sinner, even if every sinner does not receive that eternal life.
God ought to be praised for making the effort and going to such expense. Such extreme kind of love. Oh, Lord. Oh, let's just praise Him this morning. Or let's just humble ourselves, whatever you need to do. Lord, you're worthy to be praised. Lord, O Lord, how majestic is thy name in all the earth. Worthy to be praised, God, for the change that you brought about in our hearts. You're worthy to be praised for sending your Spirit into this God-forsaken, almost God-forsaken world. This world has forsaken you, dear God, but you've not forsaken the world. Thank you for that, God. Thank you that it is still the day of grace. Praise your name. Where sin abounded in my life, dear God, grace does much more abound to me. Continues to abound. Oh, God, you produced a change in my heart that so few people know about. It is so radical and so needed. You broke off my charm and my slavery, my sin and my indulgences. Lord, you've forgiven me of so much. More than I thought possible for so long. And you put it within me, your Spirit of God and the love of God which should have brought in my heart. And it drove out all of the works of the flesh. It drove out all of the bitterness. It drove out all of the selfishness, dear God. It made all things new. God, you should be praised on every street corner. You should be praised in every marketplace. You should be praised to every employee and every employer. Oh God, you should be praised. How sad the soul that does not have praise for God. How sad the soul that's empty of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
And we see Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
We think of holiness.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise you. praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God.
My heart is like a box full of things, more than can contain.
Yes, Lord. Praise your name, Lord.
Not sufficient to express my heart. But Lord, I'll do it.
Thank you, Lord. Praise your name, Lord.
I pray, Father. Praise you that you
praise you.
Made provision for us.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God.
Little things to make one effort.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Jesus.
Glorify.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Why? You're my rock. Why? You're my fortress. You're my deliverer. In you I trust. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. You're my rock. You're my fortress, you're my deliverer, in you will I trust. Praise your name, Lord Jesus.
Lord, you're the rock that you're on. When you see our life around us, day by day, things change and are shaken. You're there.
Thank you.
That rock.
Thank you for the rock of Jesus, Lord.
And things happen to us as they will. Disasters and catastrophes, wherever they might be, large or small.
Yes, Lord.
You're the rock.
Thank you, Jesus.
We can fall back on the rock. And those that believe in Jesus, those who call themselves Christ, the Master Christ.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16 is Paul and Silas in Philippi. And because of their testimony and because of their ministry and their naming of Jesus, they've been beaten illegally and thrown into prison. Verse 25 tells us what they were doing. Late at night, with very sore bodies from being beaten. Verse 25, Acts 16. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Wow. About midnight, Paul and Silas were still up. They were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. Put that one up in your mirror and look at it every day. Stick to that one where you think difficulties lie and what you're to do about them. I can imagine Paul and Silas praying. Can you? Midnight, sore back, probably weren't leaning up against anything because they were beaten. Praying. Both praying. Here's how they might have prayed. Lord, what did we do wrong? That we have been beaten and put in prison. Lord, where were you? Where were your promises to keep us from harm? Lord, we're in great difficulty. Surely you do not intend for us to be in this difficulty. Lord, we've been beaten. Where is your servants? Surely you didn't intend that your servants would ever suffer beatings like this. That's not the prayers. That's not the prayers that are compatible with singing hymns of praise. You can't have a heart complaining at the same time singing hymns of praise to God. You see that? It absolutely eliminates any conceivable type of praying, of complaining, or murmuring, or grumbling, or second-guessing God, or trying to rationalize. But their hearts were filled with praising, and they were singing hymns of praise to God and praying, and singing hymns of praise to God and praying, and singing hymns of praise to God and praying. Not in easy circumstances. Not under easy relationships. Not under easy labors. What do you think they were praying? What do you think they were praying? What do you think they were praying? Lord, let this abound to your glory. Lord, if you don't open the prison doors, open the minds of the prisoners. Open the hearts of the prisoners. Open the heart of the prison keeper. Open the heart of the governors that ordered us flogged. Open the heart of the ones that flogged us. Open the heart of the town that saw us flogged. Magnify the name of Jesus. Keep our hearts from yielding under this circumstance to sin against you. God, magnify the name of your Son here. But the last thing we do, magnify Jesus. They didn't have the New Testament. They didn't have the rest of the book of chapter 16 to know that they'd be set free. We can see that they were set free and we can just glibly say, oh, see how God does things. But as far as they knew, this might have been the last sermon they'd ever preach. This might be the last hymn they would ever sing. They were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. There, while beaten, in prison, wrongly so, they still had a spirit of praise to God upon them, even though wrongly treated, even though unlawfully treated, even though terribly treated. They still had praise unto God. What a magnificent thing. People quote that verse, no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. That refers to the fact that God will keep your soul. The weapon formed against Paul and Silas prospered on their back. But no weapon formed against their soul prospered.
for it remained in praise to God. You see the difference? When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God to raise up a standard against him, and people apply that to finances, and people apply that to objections, and people apply that to opposition by people that they might talk to about the Lord. It's not talking about that. It's not talking about the Spirit of God raising up a standard to protect you from opposition and difficulties and financial problems and relationship problems. It's talking about keeping your soul from the enemy running over it and bringing it into sin. That's the work of God in the soul. It's to keep the soul from sinning in any circumstance. To keep the soul full of praise to God in any circumstance. Not to turn the circumstances and void the circumstances and keep you in a nice, dainty little life that you like so much. Not to keep things soft for you, but to keep things holy in you. That's the work of God in the earth. Paul and Silas. Praying. Singing hymns of praise to God. Wonderful. Why do we get it backwards? Why is it, do we think that if you were in there in that circumstance, you'd do the same? Why do we glorify people who in great extreme difficulties were faithful to God? Why do we do that? Why do we do that? Do we think that those people weren't faithful in small things? Is it only a fiery furnace that generates faith that says we won't bow down to you even if we get thrown in the furnace? Is that what it takes? I don't think so. I think it was because Daniel was faithful in small things in secret. 3 times a day he prayed. That faithfulness is what kept him when he was thrown in the lion's den. It's those that have been faithful in the small things. God makes rulers over great things. Wasn't because they were beaten and thrown into jail at night that inspired this praying and worshiping and praise to God in Paul and Silas. They were people who already prayed and sang praises to God in their life. And they were pretty well constrained from doing anything else. And so they did what they could do. But it was not something new to them. It was not something foreign to them. What do you do when you find a Paul and Silas and you put them under great pressure? What comes out is praying and praises to God. That should be what becomes manifested in our lives as pressure amounts. What should be coming out? Praying and praises to God. The pressure should be pushing out what's inside, and it does. And what's manifest? Grumbling, complaining, or praying and praises to God. We can't take the escape either. If they were apostles, they're expected to do that sort of thing. Silas wasn't an apostle. He was just a layman. Traveled with Paul. He wasn't an apostle. He wasn't an evangelist. He wasn't a pastor or a teacher or a prophet. Just a faithful man of God. They were both praying and both singing hymns of praise to God. You can't get out of it by saying that it was an apostle because Silas wasn't an apostle. Boy, it just crossed my mind. It really matters who you pick to travel with.
really matters who you pick to work for God with. So when the pressure starts to mount, you better hope it's somebody that will pray and praise God with you. What a wonderful thing for Paul and Silas to have one another. Mutual praying and praising of God together. That's fellowship. That's fellowship. When you've been through that kind of thing together, you look back on it, you know what that other person's made out of. Don't you? That's when it becomes known what the other person's made out of. People talk about, you know, love and all that. That when things get pressured, they get impatient. They don't understand why they don't have impatience when there's no pressure. You don't need patience when there's no pressure. When there's pressure is when patience is needed, and that's when you find out whether you've got it. And clearly here, Paul and Silas manifest that the fruit of the Spirit, the love of God, joy in God and praise of God is what's in their heart. I don't believe that they were praying and singing hymns of praises to God to get out. I don't believe that they said, look, here's the magic formula. Let's pray and let's sing praises to God. And I think if we'll do that, God will honor that and bring us out of here. I don't think that was anywhere near their thinking. I don't think they were trying to derive a formula, a ritual, a scheme, a system by which God became obligated to get them out. I believe that from their hearts they were praying to God and singing praises unto Him in worship, relationship. I don't think it was a scheme. In conjunction with this event, I want to talk about something else. Some people praise God circumstantially. Some people praise God circumstantially. Their praise of God is due to coincidence, happenstance, fate. Their praising of God is not God Himself. But they give praise that as they were talking to a person, somebody else just happened to come up and say something. And they praise God for that. For people praise God because they asked $2,000 for their car and somebody came along and gave them $2,200. But the attitude that they expressed that was their joy in getting more money. And they had this attitude of glee. Oh, we got more money than we thought we could get. So they praise God for getting more money. They didn't praise God that God was glorified in any way in the transaction, only that they got more money. Or things went easier for them. They praise God that while they were waiting to get in line, the guy in front of them had a flat tire, so they had to go around them, and they were the last one to get in. If he hadn't had a flat tire, they couldn't have gotten in. Thank God for that. They're only praising God because their selfish interests have been served. But they give God praise for it. But their concern is ultimately what they express. When they all get done talking is, wow, you got something that you wanted that served your purpose. But God isn't exalted. God isn't exalted. when Paul and Silas did get out of prison, they didn't go around praising God. Wow, we got out after the first night. What did they do? While they're there, they ministered to the jailer. Stayed in there. Continued to do that which would most glorify God. They required the city fathers come to them. In times when it's opportunity to praise God, that's not the time to praise Him. For coincidental actings in life that enlarge your selfish attainment. That's not the time to do that. Don't grieve the Spirit of God. When it's time to praise God and worship Him and glorify Him, that's not the time to be praising God for personal advancement of your own personal interests. Now, like earlier in this morning's service, I want you to zero in on what I just said and pay close attention to that. Because that grieves the Spirit. When it's time to praise God and tell of His excellent greatness, it's not the time to be saying, I thank God that I gained an advantage in life in one way or another. I thank God for that. No, don't thank God for that. God doesn't gratify your selfish interests and your personal gains. It doesn't glorify God when only you are the one that is held out as benefiting. If you understand the spirit in which I am talking, you'll understand the point of my comment. Sometimes a person will say, I was trying to point out to this person that such and such was true, and somebody just happened to walk up and say, yeah, that's true, and walked away, and God made it. I praise God that God caused me to cause it to be seen that I wasn't wrong. That's not praising God for His excellent greatness. That is praising God that you didn't appear to be wrong. It wasn't praising God that the truth was impressed upon the other person with affirmation so that the other person came to believe the truth. But as I'm praising it to you, the person is praising God because they didn't look bad. You see what I'm saying? You need to evaluate why you praise God. Don't praise God because you get many blessings in life only. But look for His excellent greatness. Look for things that glorify Him. Have eyes to see the movings of God in His providence that are bringing about glory to Himself and not to any individual. I can only imagine a congregation of people whose hearts are filled with praise to God in all of its real significance. Out of praise to God that what God does is so disinterested. They don't care who is the one that gets His blessing as long as God's blessings are made known to the world. They don't care if they have to sit in jail beaten as long as God is advancing His kingdom. As long as they've had a part to play in advancing His kingdom. Even if it brings consequences of pain such as it did to Paul and Silas. They don't care as long as God's kingdom is being advanced. That's what they praise God for. There's so many more verses and psalms that we could look up. Tell reasons to praise Him. The central reason to praise God is His kindness. Loving kindness is everlasting. Because of His excellent greatness, because He is love, because He is good, the reason to praise God is the manifestations that He makes known of Himself all point to the same thing. God is a being so praiseworthy that to resist Him to any degree is so damnable. to withhold praise from Him to any degree is so selfish. To point to any other source as a source of good to us is such robbery. All reasons to praise God are summed up in His character. We'll take us to one more verse. 2 Chronicles. This is the beginning of a second sermon, but I won't preach it. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. This is the heart of an understanding of praising God. This tremendous event when Solomon, the son of David, finally built the temple that David wanted to, but God wouldn't let him build. David collected all the materials for it, and Solomon, his son, built the temple. And when the temple was finished, they brought up the Ark of the Covenant out of the tabernacle, put it in the Holy of Holies. Now you got to picture this. It's this great big stone temple. Huge, glorious temple covered with gold and all of its ornaments and stuff. And in the Holy of Holies, a very small place, I think it's 10 by 20, about the size of this room, a little bit smaller. They put the ark, and above the ark, as was the mercy seat covered the ark. The cherubims represented the cherubims in heaven. They put it in the air. The veil was there. They closed the veil. They came out. Outside our courtyard with all the instruments of worship and sacrifice were there. And it says that just prior to this, they cut up all the pieces of sacrifice. The animals, they sacrificed them, put them on the altar. Now, you've got to picture this. And then Solomon prayed. Verse 1. Now when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Imagine that. Think of it. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled the house. And all the sons of Israel, seeing the fire come down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, bowed down on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshipped and gave praise to the Lord, saying, truly, He is good. Truly, His loving kindness is everlasting. With all the temple that was built and the ark that was put in the Holy of Holies and all the offerings that were slain and cut up and put on the altars and everything, there was no fire. And I remember when I first read that God brought fire down from heaven to consume the sacrifice, I was stunned. In the Old Testament, there was miracles of that kind. And Solomon prayed for God to receive the house that he made and the offerings upon the altars in that house that he had made. And God manifests His acceptance of the house and the offerings by sending fire down from heaven to consume the sacrifices instead of them having to build a fire themselves. God personally, directly received sacrifices by fire. And then His glory filled the house so that no one could go in. And the people bowed down when they saw the fire and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed down on the pavement with their faces to the ground. And they worshipped and gave praise to the Lord, saying, and this is their praise, truly He is good. Truly His loving kindness is everlasting. Is that not true? And it is the heart of their prayer and worship. Truly, it is true. He is good. Oh, what we have just seen speaks to our heart without question. He is good. What would you say if you saw a fire come down from heaven and consume sacrifices upon an altar and the glory fill a large temple? What would be your first words? What would be your thought? Would you be like the children of Israel when God came down on Mount Sinai with fire and trembling and thunder and earthquake, and they said, stop, no more? Or would you be like these people here? And instead of saying, God, go away. Solomon, you speak to God for us. No, these people here, they bowed down, their faces upon the ground, and they thanked God and praised Him for coming and being there and receiving their gifts. What a difference. It says they praised Him and said, truly He is good. Truly His loving kindness is everlasting. What happened on the day of Pentecost? Jesus said He was going to send the promise of the Spirit upon them. The promise of the Spirit was finally able to be fulfilled because Christ had given up His life and been raised from the dead. The Spirit could not be given until Christ was ascended to heaven, the Scripture tells us. You know what it meant on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit came? The fire set upon each one of them. And the Spirit was poured out upon them. Do you know what that meant to them? Truly, He is good. Truly, His loving kindness is everlasting. Truly, He has kept His word. Truly, Jesus has been received into heaven as high priest. Truly, the sacrifice of Himself has been accepted in heaven. Truly, His blood has been accepted. Truly, He is the Son of God. Truly, the Holy Spirit, just like He has promised, has been given to us. Reasons to praise God. Because God is good and His loving kindness is everlasting. That is where the heart is drawn to, and that is what generates praise to God, is the fact and the belief in that God is good, His loving kindness is everlasting. Do you praise God? Do you praise Him because your life is materially comfortable? Or that you're without major friction? Do you praise Him because things seem to go along fairly smoothly? Or do you praise Him because truly He is good and His loving kindness is everlasting? In spite of relationships that may be difficult, in spite of hardships, in spite of financial squeezes, in spite of poverty, in spite of beatings, in spite of imprisonment, heart who believes that God is good, His loving kindness is everlasting, still praises Him. You might number the various difficulties in your life and come to me and say, Pastor, why should I be praising God? Look at all of this. I says, well, if you look at all this, you won't praise. But if you look at God, you have reasons to praise. Because it's praise to God that's we're talking about. So when you praise God, the mind must turn itself entirely away from everything else to God. And when your heart believes that He is good and that His kindness is everlasting, what's the question? What's the difficulty? See? For those who would praise God because there's enough money, there's enough comfort, there's enough progress, there's enough this or that. No. But we don't praise God because of those things. We praise God